Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Kickoff of the 2024 season. Of course, pregame coverage of your Chiefs begins right here on 96.5 The Fan at 4 o'clock. And then you'll hear Mitch Holthus, Danon Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel, all part of the broadcast. And coming up in 1 hour from now, Danon Hughes will give us his thoughts on this wide receiver room. I want to ask him if Xavier Worthy in this game tonight is going to have an opportunity to put on a show. What's the expectation for him and ultimately how he sees tonight playing out? So that's coming up. And we want to hear from you guys as well here in about 10 minutes or so. If you are already lining up, I know we saw a photo. If you're already lining up to tailgate and all that, and I want to get your thoughts on just this game as a whole and maybe the biggest question you guys have for tonight. 913-586-7965. That's the text line. It's also the hotline. We'll take your calls this segment. 913-586-7965. Just about tonight's game, and also if you're already out there, I want to hear from people that are already, you know, said screw it, done with work for the day, Cody,
just
and they're just
it?
Out there.
Okay, I mean, that's certainly plausible. You know, well, why couldn't it be?
I think plenty of people at noon today.
I'm guessing
noon today,
hundreds of
people's
out. I bet there's a lot of people just took it
tomorrow.
Off.
People are taking off because it's the day after a late night.
You just do both, man. You take the Thursday, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't think about that. You didn't consider taking the Thursday off.
Not in our line of work. Those are the best days. Day after game, day of game, best days in the business.
Yes, especially currently. I bet there's a time when a sports radio host would have laughed at you for saying that in this town, considering where the Chiefs had been before the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes era, but that's certainly not the case. We know that this is the case. This is, we make you put it on paper. We can look back up on your text later. We can look back up at your tweet. You don't get to claim you had it if you didn't have it before, Gold. Final record predictions. We know the last couple of years you've been a hater. You've been choosing them to have less wins than I've been choosing them to have.
Yeah, I'm a
so
hater.
Real hater choosing to win 12 wins every
those
year.
12 win seasons and still having them going to the Super Bowl and winning.
Yeah.
Such a hater. So this year, I've told you, I think they're sweeping the West. And so if you think they're sweeping the West like I do, that's 6 wins right there. And that puts you in play to get to 14. I do have them going 14-3 this season. And I ultimately have them, we'll give our Super Bowl picks, but it probably won't surprise you. I have them in the Super Bowl. We'll talk about that in a second. But the Chiefs are going 14-3 this year. I think they get back in that category, which puts them in the number one seed category as well. This schedule, if they get through the first 2 weeks, I'll be feeling really great about the 14-3. This division, they sweep. So then you look at, you know, the 3 losses outside of that. They have some tougher games later in the season. That stretch, remember, that stretch around Christmas. What is it? 3 games in 11 days.
Yeah.
Tricky. You got the Texans mixed in there. There's always one game where they just don't play well. This year, who is that going to be? Is it going to be that Monday night game in Atlanta? Is it going to be a game later on in the season? I think it probably does happen much later. But 14-3, I am going back to the number one seed conversation.
That's a pretty good record you're predicting there. Now, that obviously is based on the fact that you think they're going undefeated in the AFC West.
Right.
And if you think they're doing that, well, they already got 6 on the board. I was tempted to go 14 wins because I think they're going to start 2-0. I think there's a huge advantage in having a huge chunk of your roster healthy and getting time to prepare for 2 of the most difficult things on your schedule across the board. But I got them at 13-4. I have them as the number one seed in the AFC and eventually going on to win the Super Bowl, as you can imagine. I know that's going to come off as a homer, but the truth is, I honestly think this is a better team than last year. Does that mean the better team always wins the Super Bowl? No. Not all the time, Gold. But I think they're a better team than the team who won the Super Bowl last year. I think they might be better than the one who won it 2 years ago. And if I think that, then why wouldn't I assume Patrick Mahomes is going the entire way? At worst, I think they're the 10th best defense in the league. At worst, I think they're probably the 6th or 7th best offense. But I actually think they're better than that. Better than both of those things. So yeah, I think they're going 13-4. I think they might drop one AFC West game. I think they might drop that Niners game. And then some stupid game or two stupid games you don't anticipate. They have a difficult schedule. They'll lose to some first place teams. But it's not so difficult that I don't think they'll rack up a ton of wins. So if this team stays primarily healthy, which is how I have to go when I make these predictions, 13-4. That's what I think.
So you're the hater then.
This time.
you're the
Drew's
going
to have 9 wins and we get to boom.
Yeah. Boom! Yeah, that's right. He's going to have him as a 9 or 10 win team. I can't wait to hear the reasoning behind this.
The first time ever Mahomes goes 9-9-8. No, I've got them going 13-4 as well. I think to Cody's point, there's one game in there that they shouldn't be losing. Maybe they falter there. I think they go 13-4. I think they do sweep the division still.
So you're on board with the divisional sweep.
I'm on board with the divisional sweep. I think they win one less game though, 13-4. I would say they get the one seed as well at 13-4.
I think so too. I think the AFC, the problem is the North's going to beat up on itself a little bit. The mm-hmm. South's going to beat up on itself a little bit because I don't think there's only like one real pushover in that division, and that's Mr. Mayo,
you can say
Will Levis
the
in the Titans. And so, do you see his most recent commercial, by the way?
He's doing the perfume thing.
No, there's a whole new one.
There's another one.
You got to roll in the audio.
Is
we got to play
still
it later.
About mayo.
Yes,
yes, it is.
Oh, I got to see
it's
this.
It's Hellman's mayo. It's still about mayo.
Okay,
he does the splits over top of a Hellman's container.
We'll roll in the audio. Okay. You should hear it.
All right.
It's important that the audience hears it. But there's only one pushover in that division. I think the Chiefs play in the easiest division.
They do.
Strength of schedule based on Vegas win totals puts them middle of the pack schedule wise. Like that's why I didn't say 12. I was tempted to go 14. I settled in 13 because 13-4 is a hell of a record.
Yeah,
and we'll put you at the top of the AFC.
Someone texted in 913-586-7965 said, hey, are you nervous about saying they're going to sweep the West the last week of the season? They play the Broncos. They may not need it. Carson Wentz, baby, against Bo Nix. I'll sign up for that.
That's a quarterback mismatch.
I'm good with that. That's still better. So, yeah, I mean, I hope that that's the scenario where they don't need a win the final week and they're already got 13 wins or something. And then, yeah, they'd all be sweating the 14th win. That is perfectly fine.
You'd still hit the over by a mile.
Still would. That is for sure. We'll get to some other news here in just a second that just came out. But let's continue our AFC conversation. All right. So how do you have the AFC title game looking then? I told you they're the number one seed. At 14-3, so I have, of course, yet again, the Chiefs hosting, back to hosting, AFC title game against C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans.
Wow, so you think that they're not a fluke. You think the Texans are coming on, and they're coming on strong.
I think they get there. The division, while I'm high on the Colts, I don't think is all that great. It's improved, but I don't think it's all that great, and I do believe C.J. Stroud is the real deal. How can you not? And if he's the real deal and he's one of those really special top five type of quarterbacks, his team's going to be right in there. And we know come January, usually the team flat out with one of the best quarterbacks just finds ways to win. So if they avoid playing the Chiefs in the divisional round or something due to seeding, then I think we'll get the Chiefs-Texans matchup, which means it'll be a rematch from an earlier December meeting.
Earlier, too early for me for the Texans. I think the second best team in the NFL. But at least the AFC, maybe not the NFL, but the AFC, they're playing tonight. I think it's Chiefs-Ravens. I think what you watch tonight is the same. Now, look, those teams will be so different. Think about what the Chiefs were week one last year versus what they were at the end of the AFC title game. I'm not saying these teams will look the same. I just think the Ravens have the best roster. I think the closer I get to the season, the more I really worry about the Bills. I've told you I think the Chargers are too early. I have questions still about the offensive and defensive line again for Cincinnati. I think completion of roster-wise, it's the Ravens. So I think Chiefs-Ravens on the AFC side for me. Chiefs going on to the Super Bowl, as I had previously mentioned.
I wonder where Drew's headed here.
Huh? Take a guess.
If you don't say Chiefs, embarrassing.
We are doing our AFC championship prediction. Mm-hmm.
Yes, right? That's correct. Mm-hmm.
I think it is going to be another matchup of Joe Burrow versus Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, you got Joey B. Okay.
I almost went there.
It's going to be in Arrowhead Stadium once again. And as you can imagine, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, LSU, Joe Burrow is going to get the job done again because he's going to be healthy. And they're going to win in Arrowhead, and they're going to go to New Orleans and be in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I mean, if you say so.
All right.
All right. NFC side, we can go through a little bit faster on this.
Yeah.
I have the Packers and the Lions in the NFC Championship game, NFC North battle. I'm buying into the Packers. I told you I wanted some more time on Jordan Love, but I actually do think their roster is very good. I like the job their head coach has done in the first couple of years. They've gotten them up to speed there pretty quick. I think the Lions still have one more gasp in them. Tons of offensive talent. Jared Goff just finds himself in important games. They should have gone to the Super Bowl last year.
They should have, and that's the dangerous thing. Even Dan Campbell admitted after. He's like, we may not get back to this game. Like, we may not ever get back to this game. He's exactly right. They're not getting back this coming season, by the way. It's going to be the 49ers and Rams, a divisional AFC or an NFC
hard to argue 49ers.
Championship game. I'm high on the Rams. You know this. I think the Niners won that division. But Rams, Niners, NFC title game.
I'm worried about... You know, we talk about with Jordan Love. Like, can Brock Purdy be the guy who goes the NFC Championship game every year? I mean, I know Kyle Shanahan does, and the 49ers certainly do.
Roster is almost identical.
Is Brock Purdy going to be the... Like, he's just going to the AFC
Everything's
the NFC
good with
Championship
Brandon
game
Ayuk,
every year?
Trent Williams is taken care of now. If McCaffrey's healthy, I think they're right back there. So I have... Yeah,
so you Chiefs Niners Super Bowl again for the third time?
I haven't given my Super Bowl pick yet.
Okay. Well, the way you were talking about, maybe you are big on the Rams. So did the Rams win it? Oh, and let Drew give his Drew. Champ. Okay, Drew, who's your championship matchup?
I think the Green Bay Packers make it, and I said this right from when if they signed Kirk Cousins, I think the Falcons could make the NFC title
Falcons.
Game.
I kind of like
a little spicy. Atlanta Falcons are going to be in the NFC title game.
Okay, so who are your Super Bowl matchup then? After all this, you're going Rams?
No.
Oh, 49ers again?
Oh, my gosh.
Every year?
People are going to be sick of it. We're getting the third Super Bowl matchup between the Chiefs and Niners over the last couple of years. And I don't think that's that far-fetched. You get them 20-1 to be both number one seeds in their respective conferences heading into the postseason. And as an exact bet, yeah, I think we get Chiefs-Niners. I know it won't excite a lot of people to get that again, but I think these are the two best teams in the respective conferences, and I actually do think that will result in the two best teams this go-around going to the Super Bowl, and yes, I have the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl.
If that happened again, 49ers fans would be down bad. Like the Bills fans. Are you kidding me? It'd be that bad.
I mean, it'd be Bills 90s stuff, because they've got plenty of championships. They can still, like, cry themselves to sleep watching Joe Montana hit Clark in the back of the end zone, but boy, it'd have been a while. I got the Lions winning the game against the Packers and the Lions. Lions in the Super Bowl. Look, if the Chiefs can turn their fate around, so can the Lions every once in a while. No, they don't have their Patrick Mahomes. But they have what I think is a top three offensive roster in the league. They've got running backs. They've got wide receivers. They've got capable tight end play. Jared Goff has proven that if you give him an offensive line, he plays top 5 to 7 quarterback in the NFL.
Ben Johnson does, and they kept their OC. Yeah, Drew, Johnson, they kept their OC. Like, my question for them and my concern is just, like, sometimes when you're a team like that doesn't have, like, nobody thinks Jared Goff is a I don't think, a top 5 quarterback. I think he's outside the top 5. I think he's, like, 8th, 9th, if depending on where you guys are at. And those quarterbacks don't just go back every single year. Top 5 guys are capable, and I'm a little concerned that the Lions missed their opportunity last year to get to the Super Bowl. I think they're going to win their division. I think they're going to be one of the top 2-3 seeds, but ultimately, I think the Lions come up short, so I do not have them getting back to an NFC title game. And so, Drew, who do you have winning the Super Bowl, did you say?
I have the Green Bay Packers beating the Falcons to get to the Super Bowl, and then Packers-Bengals...
Oh, boy.
Cincinnati Bengals for the first time in team history.
Again, we told you.
What fairy tale land are you living in?
The day you got hired, if Cincinnati wins the Super Bowl, you can take the show off to go to the parade and all that, because we knew it was not going to happen. Fine, go ahead.
It's not as much of a fairy tale as it was when, like 5 years ago, it was a fairy tale.
I would love to say Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl, because I feel like everybody's been predicting that for like 7 years. Like, oh, this is the year, Chiefs-Packers. Everybody's been doing that for 7 years, and it just hasn't happened. And I still need to see more for Love. So, okay.
What does it take for the Packers to get to the Super Bowl? Is Jordan Love a top 5 quarterback in that instance? And
he has to be top 5, but he, to me, definitively top 10, because I still think he's fringe. I think he definitively has to have a top 10 season. And we'll see. There's no more Aaron Jones there. What's that rushing attack look like? Josh Jacobs, can he stay healthy? Does he still have something in the tank? That's where I'm at on it. By the way, as we were talking about this, guys, some breaking news here on 96.5 The Fan. We alluded to it yesterday that today, Chief Saholic was getting sentenced for his crimes of armed robbery, and it happened to be on game day.
Is it 15?
17 and a half years.
Wow,
17 and a half years in prison. And as our attorneys have pointed out to us, federal time, you have to serve 80 or 85% of that.
So he's sitting at least 14,
he's not seeing Patrick
15?
Mahomes play in person ever again, I don't think.
I'm assuming he's... Is he banned from the stadium for the bank robberies? Like, can you go in there as a felon?
Sure. Why would you?
I don't know. They ban people from the stadium sometimes.
I mean, they can ban anybody, but why would they ban him from being a... You think felons aren't allowed to go... Former felons... Not former felons. Convicted felons are not allowed to go to...
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the rules
are. I think the standard of felons and what you can or cannot do have been lowered drastically, but that's just me. But anyway, so I think...
Also, I mean, how would X Factor have gotten all those games for all those years?
Huh?
if criminal convictions was a problem.
I don't know if he was a felon, but anyway, I have no idea. No, they're not banning you for that. But I my point is 17 years in prison is a long time. Cody said he would do it for $1 million yesterday. Or what did you say? You said you would serve
We were talking billions of dollars.
You did. I think you said a billion.
Millions. I said a billion dollars. Maybe I do 10.
The question, though, was how much money would it take for you to do that?
Yeah, my question was like, how much money for you to do 5 years? I think for $1 billion, you'd never have to work another day in your life. I told Alex he'd have access to the $1 billion from day one to buy himself protection.
Yeah, but Cody, you'd miss your kids.
Mine's harder, I think, for Alex. No, mine's tougher. I can't take it. I got to wait till they're like,
you'd be 50. You'd lose your 40s.
Man, that would suck. That would suck. And not 10 years. I was asking him 5 last year, you know?
Yeah, and anytime the text line points out to this is fair. Anytime the Raiders are in town and there's Raiders fans, there's always felons at Arrowhead. That's true. That's very true. That is very, very true.
Good point. Hadn't thought about that. Do Raiders still have fans? No, they moved to Vegas?
Not as many. We're going to be taking over Las Vegas again. Reminder, in October, we're going to be out there for Chiefs and Raiders week. Don't forget, out at Circa, that will be the place to be. We're broadcasting live on Thursday and Friday from Stadium Swim outside. It's October in Vegas, meaning the weather's going to be perfect. While it's starting to get chilly here, join us in Vegas. We'll have a party on Friday night at their overhang bar, drink specials, a chance to win a pair of tickets to the game. You can also just watch games over the weekend. Book your stay with us over at CircaLasVegas.com.
Of the day.
All right, let's get to this. In Florida, if this scenario happened to you, would you do what the people in this scenario are being told to do? And what this scenario is a man brought his car to a garage to get it fixed. Then they found something in the car.
Okay.
And there was a bunch of like white clumps on the inside of his door with a bunch of cobwebs. Turns out he had multiple like spider eggs inside the car, like the sacks for a brown widow spider, one of 4 widow species that are found, I guess, in Florida. And people were responding on Reddit, said, hey, get these out before they hatch. Each egg sack, Cody, can have over 100 baby spiders in them.
No!
He had 4 of these.
Oh, my gosh.
400 spiders could have hatched in his car. Now, maybe they haven't hatched yet, but do you know they haven't hatched yet? People are saying you got to burn the car. You got to get rid of the car.
You're saying just get rid of it? See, I'm not even like that deathly afraid of spiders, but I'm not trying to get them just kicking it all throughout my car. Like, that's no good. What's your level of afraid of spiders? Assume you'll kill one, right? You'll take down a spider? You're not going to just run, do you kill him or you let him outside?
Kill. Go for the kill. Yeah, we go for the kill.
Well, especially, I don't know how dangerous brown widow spiders are compared to
not
other
recluse.
Ones.
Recluse are very,
But yeah, those are getting killed. 400.
Dude, here's my problem with this is even if those 4 eggs that are visible did not hatch, how do I know for the rest of my time driving my own car at that point? How do I know that one of these didn't already hatch, Cody, and I've got 100 baby spiders crawling around in my trunk, in the glove box? Anyway, and that's the issue.
So you've been waiting to buy a new car. Is that the moment you just be like, you know what? That's a good, pretty good sign.
Oh, yes.
Time to go.
I think I might be
out. It might be time to just go buy one, right?
That or I'm paying somebody to detail my car and let them figure it out for me.
Sure. So I just pay like 100, like the really good detailing. Yeah. Like the one you'd see on like an Instagram reel where the guy's like, kicking up every last inch of dirt through the whole thing, taking a Q-tip to the inside of it.
Someone says they're driving that car north until they find somewhere that's freezing, and they're freezing those suckers out so fast. 913-586-7965.
Text line. Always go for the kill. Someone says they let them outside every time. They are our friends in the ecosystem. They keep everything in check.
I get it.
They help with mosquitoes, man.
That's true.
You want to get stung by mosquitoes?
I mean, I do still get stung by
mosquitoes. But maybe less if you didn't kill every spider near your apartment.
Yeah. They do pest control at the apartment like once every 2 months anyway. Like they the whole complex, they come in, they leave a note the day before. I love that. They're like, by the way, tomorrow at 7 a.m. you need to leave your door unlocked or whatever. I'm like, thanks for the notice. You're like, why is that a problem? Well, because I have a dog, so you're not allowed to have your pet out. So it's a problem. I have to drop the dog off at my parents' house when this is going on.
What if they're just nice? What if I just had like a beagle puppy? I can't leave them out. They don't want the responsibility of them running away. Is that
they
a problem?
Have said, or lock, you know, put them in a kennel. My dog does not get kennel. I don't put my dog in a kennel. So I don't, it doesn't work. That's why it's a pain in the ass when they only give me 24 hours notice or less.
You just start bringing your dog here, like down at 989 The Rock.
I wish my dog would just sit quiet. She'd sit and look up at us and she would just start barking because she's not getting attention. That's what would happen. Trust me. If my dog was the type that would just lay in the corner, I would love it. The boss probably wouldn't let me do that anyway.
Why? They do it at 98.9.
Yeah, there's rules are different there. Let's just be real.
It's just we're on FM now.
Well, maybe
for a while true. They had that against us.
Let's be real.
We're on crystal clear FM here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Chiefs football.
Different people have different rules. We've learned that a long time ago in this business.
So you're saying you don't have the same set of rules as Johnny Dare
or anybody? We all have different expectations. I think.
Do you think
that stuff.
I have different rules than you?
I mean, I don't think you'd be allowed to bring your dog in. No.
Yeah, maybe it's just one of those, like, you apologize later things. You'd be like, why's your dog here?
Like for the whole show, there'd be no reason for you to have your dog. Someone might be allergic, the dog pees on the carpet, all kinds of stuff.
Would you let me just, like, if I had one of my kids here? Summer break, they're just off, and, like, Desmond's just here on his iPad with headphones on.
I mean, if it was a one-off, sure. Every day would be a problem. Like, a one-off because something happened with daycare or something, of course. Yeah. Like, if... you know, stuff happens, but like every day, no, that would be a problem. Like
we'd have to create content around it. You know?
That's what we would, I'm sure.
Well, speaking of that, I was an intern back in Indy, and one of the hosts, their wife was sick or something like that, so they were taking care of the kids. He was hosting a show, so my job as the intern of the day was to
entertain the kids,
keep them entertained.
Whew, that's tough.
So that was interesting.
That's tough.
That is the trash of the day. So those of you out there driving, just think. You know, I'm sure there's not any
400 spider babies.
There's no spider eggs in your car. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure
you're freaking people out as you speak.
I'm sure it's just fine. Up next here on 96.5 The Fan, we get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Something that Ross Tucker told us yesterday, just about injuries and trying to go for a three-peat and just how challenging that is. So who can you not afford to lose at all?
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We'll do that next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in a half hour, we're going to be joined by former Chief Danan Hughes. Of course, he's part of the broadcast team right here on 96.5 The Fan, the Chiefs Radio Network. He'll join us at noon today. We'll get his perspective on the opener, the season outlook, and Xavier Worthy's season and NFL debut, for that matter, coming up tonight. And especially without Hollywood Brown, could be a really special night for him. I know the expectations are sky high for this kid.
For tonight in particular, yeah. I find them high.
It seems like it. Look, there's plenty of it. There should be excitement around what he can do. But yesterday we had Ross Tucker on the show. He's going to join us every week throughout the football season, former NFL offensive lineman. He's now our Odyssey NFL insider, and he's got his own podcast. And one thing he brought up when you asked him about his time with the Patriots, where he was picked up midseason due to injuries, and like they were going for a three-peat, and injuries were a big reason why they were not able to. And that was the same story, I think, heading into the back-to-back campaign last year. Like, how do you stay healthy throughout a long season? And they did have some injuries
than they've been dealing with lately.
And spoiler, they have one right now with Hollywood Brown. They will have other injuries. It's just the NFL. You do not make it through 17 games.
With your whole complement of players.
You hope you can avoid the star player, long-term type of injury stuff. So let's take Mahomes out of the equation, because duh, of course he has to stay healthy. After that, though, is there another player where you say, hey, they just cannot lose that player for an extended period of time? I'll say more than three, you know, more than 2 weeks.
Trent McDuffie.
And still make it. And that's the name that I think
that's number one with
has
a bullet,
to be at the top. You know, I was listening to Carrington yesterday driving back from Rally House, and I think he maybe heard Ross Tucker as well, and he said Trent McDuffie's his answer more than anybody else. And I think you guys are both right, where when you look at the depth on the team, at wide receiver, they can withstand Hollywood Brown missing 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever, if that ends up being that.
Yeah, Rice maybe missing a game.
Or whatever.
Two, three, whatever.
But at corner, this year where there's no Snead, and we have the question mark about nobody really stepping up to be the number two corner yet, I think he's at the top of the list. The only other name I would throw out there, of course, is Chris Jones. Because this defensive line, as great as Carl Loftus was, if you were to lose Chris Jones, then what do you got? Right now, while Minnehue's hurt.
Well, funny enough, they've got more depth on the interior defensive line. I think before I would answer Chris Jones just from a level of dominant player he is, they'd have a harder time replacing end. They would struggle more defensively for a three-game stretch against medium-level teams without George Karloftis than they would without Chris Jones this year. Their depth positions are the obvious ones. Can't really afford an injury at defensive end. Can't really afford an injury at corner. Because then otherwise, you go from, well, I sure hope Jalen Watson or Nazi Johnson or Joshua Williams works okay at the two, to two of the three of them have to play all the time. All three of them have to play pretty much most of the time. And teams are going to pick on you. So unless for some reason Jaden Hicks can play corner now, or play consistent corner now as a rookie, a guy who we saw move around a little bit, safety and corner.
Well, I think he's getting. He's going to get more snaps than we think too. Just in anyway, even with a healthy group in the secondary. Talking about Jaden Hicks,
he just stands out. I mean, we talked about the Tyrann Mathieu comment to Brett Veach and so many others. He does stand out, but still, that is just not a position. Wide receiver, at the very least, depending on the player, three games they'll live. Will they be as good? No, that's the point. Linebacker, right? Will they be as good if Nick Bolton doesn't play? We're without Nick Bolton for a stretch last year.
Yeah, I think they're thinner still at linebacker. Even though we agree at the starting level that they're better, perhaps. We'll see.
But the depth
I think Willie Gay, though, athletically, you know, from a pure athleticism standpoint, Leo Chenault, the drop-off won't be huge there because he's a
great athlete himself.
Finkel will remind us his athletic score stuff coming out of college was literally like off the charts. But that depth after that is thinner. Because before, last year, you had Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, and Drew Tranquil, and behind them you had Leo Chenault. Now he's already, you know, going to be playing significant snaps, so it just gets thinner, unknown, I guess I would say. You know, we obviously had Jack Cochran on the show or whatever as well. Sure. Like, but still, so they're not the names necessarily. So maybe
they can get the job done.
But it's Trent McDuffie and Chris Jones clearly at the top of the list outside of, you know, Patrick Mahomes in terms of not being replaceable.
I think
opinion.
So I've heard people talk about corner a lot, and we've talked about corner a lot. And I understand like this notion that is they have consistently had better corners, or corners have played better than their drafted slot, right? They found corners no matter what. So why worry about corner if they've just find them no matter what? Part of it is like, I understand that. Like Brett, and I think a lot of times you just want to give it, they want to give credit to Brett Veach, right? This is a Brett Veach thing. Look at him. He'll find him anywhere, Gold. He's just snapping off fourth and fifth round picks. This is a Spags thing for me. My confidence in the corners and the reason why I think they can survive just as long as McDuffie is healthy, Gold, is because Steve Spagnuolo consistently gets more out of these players than he should. He gets way more out of defensive players than he should sometimes. He has raised the level of the defensive coaching and your ability to develop and the guys behind those guys that I give him as much credit as I do, you know, like Veach for finding them, as Spags for finding a way to get them consistently productive in his defense very early on for what's supposed to be a complicated defense.
But that's also why the counter on the Trent McDuffie point with cornerback, and I agree with you that after the, you know, the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, Trent McDuffie is clearly that answer as far as, you know, guys you just can't replace. Historically, with this regime, we've seen them time and time again fill out the cornerback room. Nobody's going to replace L'Jarius Sneed at that level. He was one of the best cornerbacks in football. But they have shown time and time again, whether it was losing Charvarius Ward, and everybody's like, oh man, how are they gonna play Charvarius Ward? And I understand LeJarius Sneed played at a higher level than him, but still, that was a conversation people had when he went and signed with the 49ers. There have been other guys in the secondary.
They've lost
whether
Ward,
it's corner or safety when Tyron Matthew
left. People were about Kendall Fuller leaving at the time.
Sure. I mean, so there's been multiple opportunities where you could have said, oh man, they're going to really struggle there, and they haven't. They've drafted well, as you said, at that position, but Dave Merritt and the secondary and Spags, like they've done a really good job coaching up. So right this second, is there a clear number two corner? No, they've acknowledged that publicly. But do I think it's going to be that way all year? No, I don't. I think somebody's going to emerge. I also think they actually, in a weird way, like, they have depth there. They just don't have the clear cut two.
I know, but what scares me about that is I had to learn a really hard lesson last year of depth does not mean, like, everyone being on the same level is not necessarily a good thing.
No, but not every team has, like, the reason why it was so special last year is they had Trent McDuffie and Sneed, who were both top four corners in football. Yeah, they don't have that. But I would just counter with, like, how many teams have a legit shutdown corner like Trent McDuffie and another one? Most teams don't. No. So they're not in much of a different spot than others.
No, they're not. But I just don't want to run into the wide receiver conundrum where I'm like, well, they got depth. Look, all these guys are pretty good. They're all good. No, they all stunk. The reason why no one had won the jobs early on for the Chiefs wide receiver unit, they kept mixing it up, is because no one was good. And I don't want to run into this problem. What's weird about this unit is we have seen Jalen Watson play good football. We have seen Joshua Williams play good football. We haven't seen Ozzie Johnson at all. They really liked him last year, and then he came in. He obviously got hurt for the season, and so he's coming into the year still recovering from that injury. But I've seen good play out of Jalen Watson. I've seen good play out of Joshua Williams. Sneed certainly missed snaps where those guys had to step in. As you recall, Trent McDuffie missed a good chunk of the early part of the season because of a stupid field in Arizona his rookie season. So it's not like they haven't been called to action before when somebody was down. The difference is they always had Sneed to rely on, and that's where it all comes down to. That's why corner has been this big conversation. Tonight will be a medium test. Zay Flowers gotten pretty good in the AFC Championship game to the tune of like 115 yards. But Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman
and Mark Andrews mixed in there.
It doesn't shake me to my core unless Zay Flowers is going to turn into that 12, 13, 1,400-yard wide receiver this year. It's a good wide receiver unit, but it's probably on par with what the Chiefs are. You're the 10th to 15th best unit in the NFL. You're not 1 through 5. Like Cincinnati week 2, that's a different receiver unit we're talking about. You know, because they've got Ja'Marr Chase, a proven number one top 10 wideout in the league. That'll be a whole nother thing. Will they just put Trent McDuffie on him the whole time?
The first couple weeks, I think we get a lot of this answered pretty early on in the season. Because then if you even want to go further to week 3, Falcons, you're going to play a really good quarterback in Kirk Cousins, who does have Drake London, Kyle Pitts, Darnell Mooney. They've got some weapons there as well. To me, the cornerback question, for the most part, good or bad, will be answered fairly early on in the season. But I will remind people, time and time again with Steve Spagnuolo, as the season progresses, his defenses only get better. Every single year under him, they only get better. So however you feel after tonight, however you feel after week 2, just keep that in mind. I think he has, at this point, earned the track record, the benefit of the doubt, if you will, that whether there's an issue or not, he will get this defense right, if it's not right out of the gate.
Yeah, I agree too. Like, and that's what I told you. My whole thing with corner, and we talked about this with, like, everything gets a different deadline. The kickoffs, October 1st. I'll talk to you guys on October 5th, like 4 weeks in. I'll talk to you about what the kickoffs look like, if people are actually returning them, if their plan to bring kickoffs back is working. I don't want to talk about after week 1 or 2 because I think it's an incomplete story. Corner, 12 weeks. I'll give them almost the whole damn season to figure it out. Look, if it's week 12 and they haven't settled into some answers, okay. But by week 12 last year, if I had asked you, hey, we're going into week 13 gold, who's the Chiefs' number one wide receiver? Your answer was Rashee Rice. We were done deciding that. It had been decided. And I asked you their number two receiver-wise, you'd be like, oh, Justin Watson. And you'd have known that MVS wasn't good. You'd have known that Tony was awful. You'd have known that the Sky Moore year 2 breakout wasn't happening. You'd have known. That's what I want at a corner. I just want by week 12, week 13, when are they facing the Texans? That by the time by the time Tank Dell and Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs roll into town, or you roll to their town, it's in town. When they come into Kansas City, that you know who the number two corner is against their number two wide receiver. But I'll give a huge chunk of the season.
You mentioned Zay Flowers. We know the last time he played the Chiefs, he had the costly fumble, which was punched out by L'Jarius Sneed. I wanted to go back to some of those moments. The fumble was recovered by Trent McDuffie. This was the play, of course.
Flowers sprints out to the near side. Sneed's on him. Shotgun position. As they now shift. And they've got a wide receiver, Aguilar, tight to the right side. Back to throw is Lamar Jackson. Over the middle, caught by Zay Flowers. And lunges for the end zone. They're going to say the ball's out. They're going to say the ball is out in the end zone. The Chiefs think they have the ball in the end zone. No official has been given yet. They're going to say a touchback. The Chiefs recover the ball in the end zone. Zay Flowers caught the ball and fumbles the ball into the end zone.
The runner fumbles short of the goal.
I mean, that was the biggest play of the game by far. Biggest play of the game. I know Deion Bush had a huge pick as well, but that moment right there, that fumble at the goal line will be a play that we remember here for a long time. And right now it's a play that every Ravens fan remembers still. And you know, Zay Flowers has been asked about it time and time again.
I'm shocked they haven't changed the rule because it happened to favor the Chiefs, like the overtime in the AFC championship. You know,
look, I think Zay Flowers is terrific, but that was obviously a play that you can't make, a mistake you can't make at the goal line. Unfortunately, it benefited the Chiefs. The other part of that game that I remember was pregame. And I do want to
Justin
see,
Tucker,
like, when I go to the game tonight, normally I'm not really watching kickers warm up. Not my thing. I'm going to be watching just, where's Justin Tucker lined up? Does he try to poke the bear again? Do they just laugh about it now? Because we all know before the game, Justin Tucker, for whatever reason, thought he needed to practice field goals from the 1 yard line, insisted on setting up right by Patrick Mahomes. Kelce ended up kind of like chucking the tee and his helmet or whatever away. And it wasn't like, I want to.
No, but they were clearly annoyed by it.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce said after the game that it fired them up at the beginning of the game. But they still had to win that game in a way that I hope they never have to win a game this year. I don't want a single 17-10 Chiefs game this year, okay? I don't want that old version of the offense. But that was the Zay Flowers moment was the single biggest play of the game. But the Justin Tucker thing was not nothing. You know, and we know that because the Chiefs will only talk trash after. They're never going to say it bothers them then. But when they got done and they got done beating them, then they're like, yeah, it bothered us and we were stuck by it. You know who I don't think is going to be active? How about, you know, it was a really random huge play in that game? The Deion Bush interception. Deion Bush. We talk about Sneed, McDuffie, Justin Reed. Deion Bush came up with one of the single biggest plays of that game.
Jackson, quick snap again. She's trying to push the pocket. Jackson throws deep middle for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted in the end zone! Intercepted by Deion Bush! Back-to-back turnovers in the end zone by the Baltimore Ravens!
It is kind of hard.
That throw was really bad, too.
That was a terrible
coverage throw. That was awful.
There were two touchdowns, basically, or two drives that would have ended in points at the very least. One should have been a touchdown, and that was the Chiefs defense, and it was a Chiefs defense that was great, but they were not usually the team forcing turnovers. And that's what was so big about it in the moment is the defense had been great all year and were playing great in that game and throughout the postseason, but they still weren't turning the ball over a ton across the entire season. And yet we just played you two of the biggest plays of the season, and they both were turnovers basically. And one was for sure in the red zone. The other one might've been just outside the red zone. I'm not sure.
It's so funny. Chiefs fandom is so funny now because, yeah, it's fun to like look back and be like, oh, this is the team they're facing. It's the team they beat in the AFC Championship game, beat them in their building. Here's a couple of the big plays. And in a weird way, it feels weird to relive this game because I know they won the next one. That's the game I want to relive. Yeah, just another AFC Championship game. Ho hum.
You can't enjoy that one unless this is the whole Grim Reaper thing, right? The 13-second game is still an all-time moment, but the Grim Reaper thing died the next week because they lost. So, you know, that's why, like, we can enjoy the AFC title game even more because you won the next game. Like, we'd still be talking about the Chiefs beating the Ravens and the AFC title game and everything like that as it, you know, relates to this game. But you can enjoy those plays way more because you also know it ultimately ended in a Super Bowl win. It's like what we've joked about with the apparel stuff. Like, I don't want to have a Super Bowl. Now we're spoiled and can't. I don't want to have a Super Bowl. It's a regular Super Bowl t-shirt of the Bucks Super Bowl. Yeah. I don't want that one. They lost
It's kind of hard to have AFC Championship t-shirts. Yeah. I'd rather just have
this one at least was Miami bound. This was the first one of the era.
Yeah. You know? I was about to say, I guess you are wearing it. I thought it said.
This was Miami bound. This was
so
the first
AFC
one.
AFC Champions, you're like, yeah, they've done that a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. But they won the Super Bowl 3 of the 4 times they did that. So in a lot of ways, yeah, you've become spoiled to this nature where Yeah, the AFC championship games matter, and the record of how many times they've been hosting AFC title games, or been in, not hosting now, been in an AFC title game is approaching the all-time record in the NFL, but they're approaching all of those. They're trying to three-peat, something nobody's ever done. They're trying to tie the record for consecutive appearances in an AFC title game. They're like one or two away from that. They're one or two away from consecutive division title records. They're on the precipice of being the single greatest dynasty of all time. Win this Super Bowl this year. Go to another consecutive AFC title game. Win the division again. You accomplish all those things in the stair step to the Super Bowl again. You're the single greatest dynasty in NFL history. And there's been some pretty great dynasties. There's some 49ers and Cowboys and Patriots teams that deserve their place in the pantheon, and you will have usurped them all.
Yeah, and they'll always, don't worry, there'll be Patriots fans that will come up with some new qualifiers if the Chiefs three-peat, you know, even though they have to acknowledge, of course, they didn't do that, but the Chiefs might this year. But if the Chiefs do that, there'll be some bitter Patriots fan that's threatened by Mahomes and threatened
they'll
by the Chiefs dynasty.
He's underpaid and he's stealing from the team or something.
They'll say that he obviously still doesn't have the same amount of rings, but again, the three-peat to me equals it a little bit.
They'll
if
go straight to the head-to-head.
So there's a lot of that. And I told you, I think the head-to-head thing is a damning argument until Mahomes gets within a ring or two or has a three-peat. I think that washes the head-to-head out if he gets a three-peat. But there will always be people that try to add new qualifiers to it. But you kind of laid out what's at stake this year. But also just people going to Arrowhead tonight. We already saw some photos of folks early this morning, like 5 hours ago, that were out there lined up, getting ready to tailgate, getting ready to enjoy this afternoon and then ultimately this evening at the game. But you also saw the photo, I'm sure, from the Chiefs they put out where they have four of those giant replica Lombardi trophies flanking the statue of Lamar Hunt. Think about that. Like when you're think about just like anybody that's been a Chiefs fan their whole life, maybe you've been a season ticket holder, maybe you haven't, you go and you tailgate just to think that you mentioned the Patriots. We watched what they were doing, but now as you're driving into Arrowhead and the Truman Sports Complex,
you don't have
tonight,
to get sick of it.
You're going to drive in. And when you're eventually walking towards the stadium, at least if you're on that side of it, you're going to see four giant replica Lombardi trophies. And never in a million years did any of us ever think that that was going to be, I'll say us, Kansas City. And so that's pretty freaking cool as you go to the game tonight, and that this is the center of the sports world. All the attention throughout the season is going to be on the Chiefs, but tonight there's nothing else going on. Like the Royals are off today. In the sports world,
everyone's going to be paying attention to the NFL opener.
Is it.
It's the only game.
It's all in Kansas City.
I'm not even going to scoreboard watch Major League Baseball playoff teams tonight. I don't care what the Red Sox or Tigers do tonight. That's tomorrow's problem.
Correct.
I'm here focused on the beginning of the NFL season, and the Chiefs get to keep being on the first game of the year because they keep winning the damn Super Bowl. That was, by the way, a very smart decision by the NFL to, because that's not how it used to be.
Yeah, it's been like
maybe
10
like
years
10 years
now or something. Yeah.
But yeah, maybe like 10 years ago, they were like, you know, what if we put the defending Super Bowl champions as the first game of the year? And you're like, yeah, that should be the reward. I was the last team standing. I should get a standalone game to kick off the NFL season where you have to zoom in on the city and show us all, you know, like show these long shots of
Union Station lit
Las
up red
Vegas
and everything.
And Union Station lit up red and like them celebrating in the Raiders locker room. Yeah, show it all. Make the NFL fans remember who the last team to hold up the trophy was, which has consistently been the Chiefs over the last 5 years anyway, but make them remember. That was a great choice by them. I can't believe they weren't doing it before. How was that not just the
it
standard?
It seems simple now. Yeah, that was definitely a very, very smart thing. And now we get to enjoy it. Because admit this, though, when it was the Patriots hosting these opening night games, we hate it. Just like any
Jack Parkman Major
just
League
like
2,
Cincy
dude.
Cincy fans, Bills fans, whatever. Normally Ravens fans, except they're in the game. You can't stand it. But this is one of the, we like the opening games now, Cody, because it's happening in our city. Let's be real about that, though.
I comp it to the same group of friends. Everybody has an a-hole in their friend group. Everyone does. Drew does, even though he's a nice sport of the planet.
Can you just get the cut and drop that, please, prior to in their friend group? Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah. Alex's group does. My friends do. But when they're part of your group, they're your a-hole. Mm-hmm. So, like, when it's you doing it, you don't care. Right? You're like, all right, the Chiefs are doing it. This is great. Everyone else hates you. And you should love that. Every single person on the planet hates the Chiefs, except for Chiefs fans.
Have to
They're
embrace
rooting
it.
Against you. I mean, you are Darth Vader. They root for your demise every single day. If you so much as slip up for a half a second, they'll be waiting to pour some dirt on your grave. And instead, you get to just keep winning championships and you're all screwed.
I will say, the game tonight is not getting turned on until they're about to kick off.
Oh, you can't watch the lead up.
I'm not turning it on until kickoff.
Soak it in, Drew. You're reporting so Kansas City bitter. Radio. You have to, you have to take this in.
I think the boss should have made you go on assignment tonight and sit in the press box and watch that banner go up. It would have been good.
This is what it's like, huh?
Because you may never see that, Drew, as a Cincinnati fan. I think you actually are missing out. You still haven't been to Arrowhead. Tonight would have been a great night for you to go.
Yeah, I think it would have been. And I'm... Look... Being at the Super Bowl was great. It was good that the Chiefs won and all that stuff. It was fantastic.
Oh boy. But
it doesn't, it's never going to hit the same for me.
I understand, but I think you should have to see the banner go up as a Cincinnati fan.
It'd be great. It'd be cool.
And at times a Chiefs Arrowhead hater, need to go to Arrowhead tonight.
It would be a really cool moment and it would be awesome. I'm not going, though.
I can't believe you wouldn't go to that one after saying there's no vibe. There's no atmosphere.
I didn't know. You know how amazing
get a t-shirt.
The energy level in the building tonight is going to be off the charts.
I understand that.
I think they have a B2 flyover, which adds to it.
That's
really cool.
I like
that.
Cool.
Some people
awesome.
Don't. I do. It's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I think that's really... Look, you got... From the jump, since you reintroduced the argument, I'm not going to argue about it. Mm-hmm. It was never about Arrowhead. It was never about Arrowhead.
This was an NFL versus college.
This is
argument.
An NFL.
Feels like an attack on
argument.
Us, though, Drew.
I know, but Drew, you said the Chiefs need to have a whiteout. Okay, I mean that's what you said.
Look, Cody, I don't know if you were calling me out for when you said this.
Everybody has an a-hole.
I was not. I'm not trying to be the a-hole here, but
only facts spoken there, Cody.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Up next,
we'll see.
Former Chiefs wide receiver Danon Hughes will be on the broadcast tonight, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Up next, he joins us. We're going to get his perspective on season long expectation, but also tonight, what can we see from Xavier Worthy next?
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.